Blackstone Audio presents The Politically Incorrect Guide to Catholicism by John Zmirak. This book is read by Patrick Lawler. To my beloved sister, Patricia Marie Fain, who had to endure me as a teenager, thanks for not strangling me, though I deserved it. See, Damien did eventually amount to something. Chapter 1. The Church, What It Says About Itself, The World, and What Will Happen to You When You Die. Did you know, no pope can solemnly contradict the solemn teaching of a previous pope? The fact that you regularly meet Jews, but never Hittites, is evidence of God's existence. Medieval popes repeatedly condemned conspiracy theories about the Jews. The Roman Catholic Church is like the weather. Everybody talks about it, but nobody does anything about it. They can't. Not in the most fundamental sense, any more than they can change Earth's climate. The truths that the Church teaches about God and man, right and wrong, and the purpose of human history are simply there. You can embrace them enthusiastically as liberating and beautiful, what the saints do. You can reluctantly admit that they are probable and obey them to be on the safe side, what most of us bad Catholics do, or you can insist that some or all of them are false, what non-Catholics do. What you can't do is alter those truths, what liberal Catholics try to do. Not even a pope can manage that. Catholics believe that the Holy Spirit would intervene and prevent him, exercising the divine veto power that we call infallibility. Now, I can't make you believe that tenet of Catholic faith, but the laws of logic bind us all. As you'll learn later on in this book, if a pope were to solemnly contradict the solemn teaching of a previous pope or council, he would thereby discredit his office, and with it, the Roman Catholic Church. So he'd be a pretender pope of a ghost of a church, like a seedy exiled nobleman with documents that prove he is the Khan of the Golden Horde. Hence, it's funny to read in the New York Times that liberal Catholic activists are pushing for a change in church teaching on issues relating to, well, let's admit it, sex. Nobody is out there demanding the popes revisit the condemnation of Jansenism, don't ask, or settle the question of whether divine grace is or isn't resistible. No, journalists want to know what the church thinks about whether one person should poke another, and if so, where, when, and how. What liberal Catholics and the journalists who love them are really asking is for the Church to admit that it was teaching a set of harsh, repressive errors for 19 centuries and that now it is very, very sorry. Then it can toddle off like the Church of England to play dress-up in empty Gothic buildings and no one will ever have to pay attention to it again. No doubt you have read breathless accounts in the press of the exciting new changes allegedly impending in Catholic teaching. Pope Francis has used his bully pulpit tirelessly to vent his private opinions on global warming, economics, immigration, and a long list of other issues on which he is less well-informed than the average American who watches Fox News. None of that matters. As you will learn, these subjects are outside the Pope's scope of divinely appointed authority. He has no more claim to anyone's deference on these subjects than a traffic cop who stops you to offer gynecological advice. Peter and his successors were guaranteed infallibility not so that Catholics would know exactly what to do about greenhouse gas emissions and income inequality, but so that the signs identifying the narrow road that leads to heaven couldn't be switched out for the signs pointing to the broad way that leads to perdition. That, after all, is the purpose for which Jesus Christ established the papacy and the church itself in the first place, to show us the way to eternal salvation, not to tell us how to vote. But even on issues where the authority of the Pope and the bishops really does apply, troubling things have